This podcast is brought to you by Deepbridge Capital LLP. Deepbridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Hi, I'm Andrew Aldridge.
And I'm Olivia Drinnen.
Welcome to this Deepbridge Discovery podcast.
On this podcast, we're delighted to be joined by G from Enzo, a company within the Deepbridge Technology Growth EIS Fund.
Hi, G. How are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm well. It looks beautiful, very sunny where you are. Did you say you're London based?
Yeah, we're just across the river from Big Ben. We're at Sustainable Ventures, which has a big working environment for sustainable-based businesses. So we got the corner office. So if I look out that window, then I see Big Ben every morning. It repeats my alarm every 15 minutes to mention that I need to be in another meeting.
So you don't have to set five alarms to get up then like I do. Thank you for taking the time to be on this podcast, the Deepbridge podcast today. If I could ask you to introduce yourself, that would be a lovely start.
Yes, yeah, so I'm G, one letter. The full name is Gunnlaugur Pétur Erlendsson. I blame my parents for that one. I'm the CEO and founder of Enzo, and we do better tires for electric vehicles to extend EV range and to tackle tire pollution.
Perfect.
Brilliant. And do you want to tell us just a little bit about kind of the background, you know, about tire pollution, about how tires specifically for electric vehicles can help, and I guess also just kind of tell us how you kind of came into this world, I guess, and yeah, what got you involved in the first place.
Yeah, that's how many minutes do we have?
Oh, we've got all day, G. Don't worry about it. Crack
we'll
on.
Edit yeah. you. We will cut you so, down. Don't worry.
Thank you. Nothing like being well edited. Yeah. I mean, tires are a strange thing. We wouldn't have an economy without tires. We wouldn't have mobility without tires. We wouldn't be able to do most of the things we do on this world without tires right now. It's one of those major products that are kind of hidden in the background. And when we started Enzo, which was in 2016, we came from the tire industry, and we knew how impactful tires were already on the planet. It's kind of like a hidden secret within the tire community that tires, of course, wear down. We make about 2 billion tires on this planet every year. But at the time we set up Enzo, nobody was talking about tire pollution. Mm-hmm. At the same time, electric vehicles were becoming successful, but they were being hindered by inefficiencies, meaning that they couldn't go as far or drive as far on a single charge because the tires were so inefficient. So we already knew that tires weren't good enough for EVs on efficiency, and we already knew that even before EVs happened, there was a gigantic amount of pollution being generated. So we set up Enzo really to make better tires for electric vehicles. Electric vehicles need specific tires because of two main reasons. The main reason, of course, is efficiency. If we make electric vehicles more successful by allowing them to drive further on a single charge, we'll have faster adoption of electric cars, we'll reduce the energy that they need to propel themselves, we'll reduce the carbon that they emit from generating that electricity, and reduce cost for them as well, because the cheaper it is to run the vehicle, again, the TCO, total cost of ownership, drops down. And this is important in its own right, because we've decided now to switch electric vehicles, particularly those driven in urban cities. And when we switch to electric vehicles in urban areas, certain things happen. Large fleets like Amazon, DPD, Royal Mail, and others are now adopting these vehicles en masse. And what they then realize is that the tires are really not up to scratch. They wear out quite quickly because electric cars are heavy and they have high torque, so they wear tires faster mm-hmm. than normal cars do. This is, again, goes to the tire pollution point. But ultimately, that means that when they replace the tires with just what they used to buy, they suddenly lose all that range they had. And they kind of go, where did it go? What happened? And the answer is very simple. It's that the tires are just not efficient, the ones they replaced with. So So when we are developing tires that extend the range of electric cars, we're not just extending it from those poor replacement tires, we're extending it from the tires they originally came when that vehicle was new. So we're already now developing tires that are ultra energy efficient to make electric vehicles, in particular electric fleets like commercial vehicles, taxis, in the future Uber drivers and others, simply drive further, but ultimately make more money. And so everyone who adopts the Enzo solution ends up making more money on a day-to-day basis. And a good example of that is my cab drivers. We're tackling the London taxi fleets. We're already serving all the big fleet operators, the guys who actually lease these vehicles to the cab drivers here in the UK. And that now that means that a cab driver driving on my tires makes more money when he goes out to work. So he brings more money back home. And the delta is significant. On an annual basis, it not just pays for the tires, but can even pay for a nice holiday. So ultimately, the way that we do efficiency is driven around the total cost of ownership. Now, everyone wants more range. Range anxiety has been a big thing. When we started Enzo in 16, the tire companies weren't really interested in pushing this envelope as hard as they needed to because, well, you know, if the top five tire companies didn't do it, then nobody else was going to do it. So that's where we crafted Enzo as a unique proposition, doing tire sizes for electric cars and focusing them on these high mileage use cases, the guys that drive the most and therefore gets the biggest benefit. But at the same time, as I mentioned, tires wear faster on EVs. An electric car, according to Michelin and Goodyear, you know, wears tires 20 to 50% faster. We've seen from our data from competitor tires that they can wear twice as fast when they're equipped on an EV. Because it isn't just the fact that we've taken a tire and put it on an EV. It's where that EV is driving. So again, we've concentrated them in urban centers, cities, and urban environments where you stop, start, and turn a lot. And that's where tire pollution generates the fastest. So we've, on one hand, said that EVs need to roam in urban areas. Great, that solves air pollution from the tailpipe because there's no tailpipe. But that additional wear and tear on the tire creates so much PM 2.5 and PM 10 that DEFRA here in the UK has said we're already breathing more tire dust than tailpipe dust even before we had all these electric cars. Right. And now when we have electric cars coming, we're going to have even more of this pollution. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, EVs are hampered by efficiencies, which we're solving, but making the tire more durable means that we can radically reduce this pollution at the same time, helping clean our air. And that's, of course, why we were recently nominated by Prince William for the Earthshot Prize in the Clean Our Air category, because we're tackling one of the most hidden and unregulated sources of pollution in our urban environment. And now most people on this planet live in these urban cities, where, again, we're putting more EVs into these urban cities. So it's really important that we just don't just focus on reducing costs for the driver, but focus reducing the cost for ourselves and our planet, because it's an enormous amount of pollution. It's about 6 million tons of this stuff every year.
Oh my God, wow. That is a scary amount.
Can you tell us a bit
more? That's a lot to take in, I know.
And again, it's something that's not talked about, as you rightly said, G. It's not something which is, you know, I think everyone knows about CO2 emissions from cars and therefore why electric vehicles has been a push towards them, etc. But again, this kind of almost knock-on effect hasn't been spoken about until yourselves. Can you tell us a bit more about the Earthshot Prize, what it is, what it means, and importantly, what it's meant for Enzo and for yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, Earthshot Prize, we were nominated back in 2022 and we didn't hear a word. We didn't know nobody called us, nobody gave us. We were like, okay, we didn't get it. Fine, we'll move on. Then again, a colleague of mine from Tech Nation, Sammy Fry, he emailed me and said, look, really want to nominate you. And we'd been nominated the year before. So I said, sure, you know, go for it. And so we tick a few boxes and our application kind of goes in. Suddenly we hear some, let's say, words in the background that something's happening, that they're digging into our application.
Okay.
We're like, okay, this is interesting. And then by about April and May, we are having due diligence discussions. And I I want to stress that when you get nominated for the Urshaw Prize, it's a bit like getting, you know, filtered by multiple different intermediaries, including a scientific body that represents each of the areas that they want to tackle. So this is a several months process. It's a bit like a due diligence exercise by an investor, except it comes also with a kind of like a background check, so that they figured out that you paid your traffic bill or, you know, and all anything else you may have done in the past. So
no skeletons in the cupboard then, Jay. No skeletons on earth there.
None that they found, clearly. or at least they were the right skeletons. So the way that, you know, the process is, you get nominated. And so it's not something you apply for. You have to kind of get a tap on the shoulder by someone who has the ability to nominate. And there's a couple of hundred people who can do that. And ultimately, we were up at this stage with 1,100 different companies all over the world. So that was whittled down to 15. So just about 1% of the nominations actually ended up being a finalist.
Wow.
And they tell us in the summer, we were told in July, beginning of July, and then they kind of go, you can't tell anyone for 2.5 months. This is all going to be announced in the middle of...
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they help you keep it a secret by sending in a whole film crew to chase you for 3 days here in the office, which makes it incredibly easy to keep this as a secret.
Nice and low-key, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, keep it on the lowdown. Very, very secret. So ultimately, you know, after all of that, you know, you're in your preparation mode for the grand, unveiling, which happens during New York Climate Week at the Plaza. And so that was a day, I can only describe that. And of course, being a UK company, being nominated for Earthshot is phenomenal. We were up with another company, we were really proud of being a finalist with. But of course, we got all the media attention because we are the UK finalists, and that was fantastic. I think that was the biggest media day we had up until that point, of course, ever. And suddenly our name across the whole climate space, but also in the whole tire industry, is being touted.
Yep.
Suddenly major tire companies who we are maybe speaking to start to reach to and start to engage with us. And same with all the big customers and many of which are also affiliated with the Urshaw Prize team. So it was one of those experiences you can't really plan for. Mm-hmm. And then of course it's been an absolute roller coaster. We've been not just from New York, we were to Singapore for 2 weeks where we had a whole week retreat with senior leaders. And then, of course, the whole Earthshot Week itself. And when you join the Earthshot Prize as a finalist, you of course, end up being part of the family. So it's not like a one-year thing. You effectively kind of get embedded into this ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And the whole ecosystem is about helping you scale, not just this year, but going forward. And so, as we're all small companies often, or small NGOs to begin with, which when we get in, the goal is that we all become incredibly successful over the next 7 or 8 years until the end of the decade. Until then, basically, we're able to showcase how much of an effect the Urshaw Prize has had on us. Mm-hmm. So it's much more than winning the prize, which is an additional million. And I think everyone will know an additional million is a nice to have,
yeah.
But it's really being nominated, which is the network and the relationships that you get to tap on for life, effectively. So as a validation to Enzo, it's phenomenal. This year, it's 2,400 companies that have been, or groups that have been nominated, both NGOs and for-profits in developed and developing nations across the whole ecosystem of sustainability and climate impact. So it's an incredible recognition, and it's one of the most exhausting things I've ever done in my life.
So go on then, G. You know, we'll let you do some name dropping of people involved with Earthshot. I know, apart from the fact, you know, if anybody follows Enzo on LinkedIn, will know that you are now, I think, officially best friends with Kate Blanchett. So, you know,
I wouldn't call best friend is probably a strong word, but she was really sweet at the award ceremony. Came up to us and said to us how important the work we were doing, that she hadn't actually realized how impactful tires are, and we was keen to support. And ultimately, I think this is kind of the story we've had with Enzo for the last 8 years, since 2016, in the sense that we set up this company because we had access to the technology, and we knew that there was a market fit for it. But the key thing for any company which wants to tackle a huge industry, it's a $200 billion industry. So you have to look at it every year. It's 2 billion products every year. You stack the tires that we waste every year, they can climb to the moon. You don't need Elon's rocket for that. Yeah. You just need enough piles of tires and you just go there up like Jack and the Beanstalk. So ultimately, though, the way that we are trying to tackle this has been a lot in awareness building. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about tires, which I tend to do too often, we get under people's, I think, skin, get onto their agendas. And that's, you know, Earthshot's been fantastic for that. I mean, when Prince William nominated us, it's the first time a major celebrity ever talked about tire pollution, sure. To be honest.
Yeah.
Until then, you know, he catapulted us into the stratosphere. And that has been phenomenal. And I think that we are just examples of the movement that we want to see on this planet.
Yep.
We are one of many companies trying to make positive change. We're just the ones that are doing it in the tire space, which often feels very lonely.
I can imagine.
But ultimately, I think that when people hear the story that, you know, that tires are one of the biggest sources of air pollution, it's one of the biggest sources of microplastic pollution in the oceans, it's one of the biggest waste problems we have on the planet. And we can't look at a future where we have all these electric cars and still pumping oil out of the ground, not to make 2 billion tires, but making maybe 3 billion tires on this mm-hmm. planet, just so we can keep the sense of mobility that we have going forward as we switch to electric cars and electric propulsion. So the mission of Enzo has always been beyond simply our ability to sell individual products. It's been about how do we affect change within an industry that doesn't really want to change or finds it difficult to change. But you had the same thing with electric cars. I mean, until we had Tesla, nobody really was making them. And then today, even, you know, it's 12 years later since the Tesla brought out its first cars, 4 years from, you know, after we started Enzo. So you can look at the time horizon, and still today, most of the car makers are struggling to make them as well.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where change is never easy, but someone has to show that it's possible so that the others can then eventually follow.
It's fascinating. It's just, again, it's a market that people don't even think of. They take it for granted so often. So obviously the Earthshot Prize has been a key milestone for you. Obviously it's been a great process, but brought its challenges as well. But in terms of what other milestones have you kind of achieved or you've been particularly proud of over the last 8 years?
So we did even during COVID, we did a rollout with Royal Mail and DPD, where we showed we could extend the range of their electric cars up to 10% while reducing tire pollution up to 35%. And that, of course, was a huge statement for us.
Yep.
As a small company to work with two of the largest EV fleets in the UK.
Yep.
So we thank them for that. That was managed by the Mayor of London and Transport for London, and they kept going doing that program. They could have cancelled that during COVID, but mm-hmm. we managed working with them. Something that was supposed to take 6 months ended up being 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Put that in perspective.
Everything always takes longer than you expected anyway, but COVID was a curveball as well, wasn't it?
And of course COVID was kind of you know, difficult to navigate, but it brought out a few blessings. We also developed our first tire for the London taxis during COVID. We had support from the UK government to do that. And ultimately, you know, that meant that our first commercialized product was actually a fitment for the London cabbies. And, mm-hmm. you know, to be honest, I can't imagine a better, easier to work with group than London cab drivers who never have strong opinions about anything. honestly, they actually are the best group that we could have worked with. And yep. the reason is that we get quick feedback loops, and we're already now working, you know, on a new iteration of our taxi tire, which is coming to market very soon. It hasn't been announced. Got one right here. This is the new one.
Oh, wow.
And that comes into the And that takes back all the feedback and all the technology levels that we have iterated into the development curve, so that every time that we replace these tires to the fleets, to the individual taxi drivers, they get a better product that makes them more money. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that is the kind of the message of Enzo, in the sense that things can get a lot better. We can improve the durability and the efficiency on a continuous basis. And so that's what I'm really proud of, is that we've been now selling these products just under a year now. Mm-hmm. And our target, of course, is to make those cabs as simply as efficient and durable as possible, reducing the air pollution in London in particular, because these vehicles, of course, drive the most. The same thing with delivery vans. We have another product, which is also down there.
Excellent.
For large format electric vans.
Say again? This is one I made earlier.
Yeah. it's that one, slightly bigger.
Oh yeah, so
that's an all-season tire that we've developed with some OEMs as well.
For anyone that's just listening only, he's just showing us tires now.
Yeah.
If this doesn't make any sense.
and of course the thing about it is that when people understand what our vision and why we were set up, they get the buy-in. Mm-hmm. Mm. And ultimately as well, for the fleet operators, not only are we reducing the cost in the sense they're using less energy, so they reduce the energy bill, the tires last longer, so they buy fewer tires, so we're reducing their tire bill. And the tires, because we sell them directly to customers, are cheaper to buy than our leading competitors, which means they also are paying less per unit. Mm-hmm. So when we wrap that together with a story that is also about reducing carbon emissions, reducing air pollution, reducing microplastic pollution, reducing waste, that for them, of course, are nice to have, but fundamentally, we're reducing the capital spend that they are spending on maintaining these fleets.
Right.
And that means that we are basically making them more successful. And by making them more successful, we benefit ourselves as well.
Exactly. And I just think there's nothing better to motivate companies towards sustainability than cost savings. So you've really hit the nail on the head there. I mean, just from speaking to you, G, it's obvious that you're going through a period of massive growth, lots going on, especially with the Earthshot Prize. But what about the future? What are you kind of looking forward to or planning for the future?
So a number of things. So we'll never stop developing or reiterating our tires. We've got our first generation products. We already have in our pipeline second and third generation products that are coming down with added novel technologies that will further improve efficiency, durability, and the sustainability metrics of our products across the board. That's just the product. Of course, how we then put it and where we put it in the markets is depending on the market needs. The UK and London in particular has been phenomenal in helping us prove the concept and showing this can be done. Then we have to consider, okay, which markets are appealing to us. And of course, there are some markets where you have high EV concentrations, like Norway and Holland and a couple of other places in Europe. But our trajectory is very firmly focused on the United States, in particular California. California is where half the EVs roam in the United States. Market dynamics are vastly different from the UK, of course, but it's where we also see a huge need for our products and where there's a high affinity for what we are doing. So our goal this year is that we're going to be selling our tires in the United States and opening our operations in the United States alongside that, which initially will be a sales and marketing. That gives us a toehold into a market that we, of course, need to experience and learn and build relationships. But on the backbone of what we've done here in the UK, we expect to be able to scale those fairly rapidly. And you know, we have to remember that this nation invented the computer and invented the mm-hmm. jet engine and invented all kinds of other stuff as well. But, you know, to scale these innovations, they actually were scaled in the United States.
Yeah.
So ultimately, the way that we are looking to tackle this is really about shifting our products into the U.S. market. We're also, and this has been stated in public domain, Not only have we set ourselves really firm carbon targets in the sense that we're looking to deliver carbon neutral tires by 2030, which is two decades ahead of the rest of the tire industry. That's a big ask, by the way, but that's available based on existing technologies. We're also looking to build our own carbon neutral tire manufacturing plants. And that the first one should be built within that period as well. So where that gets built is still a key question. The UK is not out of the running for that, but there's a lot of reasons why we may build it in the United States or at least in North America.
Wow, I guess exciting plans then. I guess the kind of two questions in one then. What have been some of the big challenges you faced? And also, if you were to do it all again, what would you do differently? And those might be hand in hand, those two questions.
Well, challenges have been like, you know, how can you beat Michelin? Mm-hmm. We've got test results to show that we've done that. The other one is how are we able to compete against these big companies on a shoestring in terms of the budget? I'm sure Michelin spends more on coffee than we have spent in our development in the last 8 years. So the answer is this: you have to intimately know what you're doing. And of course, we come from within the tire industry, so we understand what actually the needs of EVs are and how we address them. What I would change, of course, is to some extent, it's taken us 8 years to come here. If we had started later, we may not have been able to achieve where we are today, because this is a bit like catching a wave before you see that the wave is there. So if you're going to, in the surfing analogy, you need to feel that the wave is coming, because it took us that much time to get up to speed. Yes, if we had raised more capital potentially earlier, we could have probably gone further and maybe a bit faster. But I'm not necessarily regretting that at this stage, based on everything that happened. We didn't perceive, for example, COVID would hit us. Yeah. You know, if we had been a major operation during COVID, that might have wiped us out, because we had already then been very established and not able to supply. So that could have been even worse for us in retrospect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I would say, you know, what to change, maybe we would have gone to America a bit earlier as well, in the sense that
the demand... Is this just because you want some sun in California?
Again?
It's just because you're just wanting to chase the sun in California?
Oh, God, no. No, nothing to do with that. No, it's there is a certain cadence in how, and we're doing hardware. It's very important to note, you know, hardware is really hard and it's very slow. So it's taken us, you know, years to come to the stage, even though we had our first tires made 5 years ago. That's our first, it's literally on this wall hanging here. Our first tires 5 years ago were great, but they were literally made half an hour before COVID.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we, if we had moved faster, would we have scaled earlier? It would have been different.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to say I have many regrets.
No.
We learned a lot and the market has learned a lot. We were talking about tire pollution where nobody was talking about it. Now, if you Google tire pollution, half the articles in the newsfeed talk about Enzo.
Yep.
And that's because we've been planting carefully, chaotically sometimes maybe, but carefully and chaotically seeds in the grounds for why we're doing certain things and how we're doing it. And having a discussion about these things has taken a lot of time. Now, when people are on board with the idea, and we've got, of course, people wanting to support us, it's more about, can we scale fast enough now? Because it's always a question of cash and customers and time and those things, and talent, of course. So you know, it's those things are as a growing company, we've kind of gone through, I would say, four periods of different development, everything from just being an idea to having our first prototypes to having our first tires and now being commercially deployed. Each one of these is a different animal. And I think the founder journey, the founder also, you know, the crazy founders have to change. And every founder, of course, realizes that they're good at some things and pretty atrocious at most other things.
That's the evolution that you have to go through. And I guess it is that sharp learning curve for yourself. It's the understanding of your own skill sets. It's understanding, I guess, where you have gaps in the team and you have to change accordingly as you grow and bring new people in or adapt to existing roles, etc. And that must be fascinating to go through. I mean, we at Deepbridge, as we've grown, go through similar kind of things. So, it's a fascinating thing to go through.
Yeah. I sometimes say, a startup journey is probably the most horrible thing you can imagine for yourself, and probably the most rewarding in an emotional way at the same time.
Yeah.
It's nothing like building something and then seeing it work.
Yeah.
And ultimately, of course, that requires capital. It requires a team. It requires a vision and a certain sort of emotion. But adaptability, you need to be able to roll and take the punches.
Yeah.
And you'll never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yep.
But, once it's tough, you find somehow a spirit to keep on. Now that we've kind of, I would say, gone through the dark tunnel where many a times there was no light that we couldn't see, now we're kind of coming out our challenges are different now. Challenges now are like, how do we add a zero behind every number every year? That's the challenge this year and next year and the following year. And that level of growth isn't internal growth necessarily. It is all that internal growth that you have built within you. Put that out there and then hope to God that you don't get it wrong when you're at that scale. But ultimately, the beauty with what we have done today is that the product is completely, wonderfully standalone in quality.
Yep.
So to some extent, we've already shown what we can do. And of course, with Deepbridge, you guys were our first investors back in 2017. So for those who got onto that, you probably should applaud. We're already now closing another funding round, which is coming thick and fast. We have some great investors. We already have some US-based venture capitalists on our cap table. We're being supported quite heavily, both within the UK but into the US as well, by leading names. And I think that it's really exciting. But I sometimes kind of reminisce about, when we were a tiny little company, just trying to make one tire.
Yeah.
And that one tire took, how long did it take? That took like £2 million worth of capital. Yeah. And it
I mean, that's an expensive tire, to be fair. I mean, that is an expensive tire.
It's right there.
I don't blame you if it's that's kind of the first milestone for you, isn't it? That first kind of proof of concept that it works and that's it. Particularly in a market that you work in, where you've got, as you said before, five major competitors in the market, in terms of it's a highly monopolized kind of market. Mm. So to go through that at the outset and to get through those stages must be hugely rewarding when you realize, A, you could do this, and then I guess further down the line when you realize you've got a market there for it as well.
Yeah. Tires is a funny animal in the sense that, you got five companies making half the products on the planet and a million guys who actually sell the tires.
Yeah.
A million companies. So it's five plus a million. So it's, and we're trying to leapfrog these guys. Mm-hmm. So it's, while beating these guys in performance, it's not an easy ask, but the one thing about, I think, why we kept our eye on the ball in terms of, we knew that electric vehicles inherently needed better products. And then we just made that. We made that product. We're now selling the product. And every time we get a feedback, we go back to the manufacturing and make the product even better. And for a tire industry that is focused on selling more tires, the traditional guys, whether it's the manufacturers or the distributors, they just want to sell more tires because that's how they grow.
Yeah.
Is unit sales. Like if I sold 5% more tires, my volume has gone up 5%. So ultimately, if you're in a business that just wants to be addicted to churn, you don't want the tires to last too long because you'll sell fewer of them. And you don't want to spend much more to make them because that'll reduce your profits per unit.
Yep.
Because we do a different business model where we focus on selling them directly to customers and are so incentivized to make EVs more successful, we can ignore both of those. Every tire we sell is pure upside. We're not cannibalizing an existing distribution chain. You know, if we sold 1 million tires tomorrow that all would last, you know, twice as long, that'd be equivalent to selling 2 million tires in the traditional market. So you have to understand that the mission of Enzo is all about how do we drive change in a positive way while still supplying the product that the world needs to move on every single day. And that basically is, you know, is the genesis of why we set up Enzo in the beginning. In a sense, we knew that this product would be here for the next 10,000 years at least. So what we don't want is to aggregate endless amount of pollution in that period where we end up basically having nothing but EVs and nothing but tire pollution everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Liv?
I was just thinking it's an incredible... We obviously, me and Andrew do speak to a lot of different founders of startup companies, and it is an incredible story because it's almost like you've got you're selling a product, but you're also selling a message, and you've done both at the same time. And I just thought it was really interesting that you said that you wish maybe that things had happened faster, because actually you could argue that you kind of did two in one, so it should have taken more time.
It's probably why it took longer.
Yes.
I think the what, and again, we set up Enzo at the time when electric cars were barely in the market, when Dieselgate had just about happened, and nobody talked about these problems. Yeah. So we were at the moment where we could see, you know, far down the road what was needed. Then the question was, how do we get there?
Yeah.
I would say that one thing that was a challenge is the same. You bring out a solution and nobody knows there's a problem. So suddenly we were kind of forced into accelerating the discussion about tires being a problem, because nobody knew that was a thing. Mm-hmm. They just go, we just buy more of them and that'll be fine. And ultimately, I think that the discussion about tire pollution, we've had a positive influence in driving that. But we're not saying we own that discussion. What we've simply been is trying to be an enabler for scientists to research this, for fleets to measure it, for OEMs to look at it, and for governments to regulate it. And if we have had a small thumb on that weight to basically make sure tire pollution hits the agenda a bit higher, of course, then people were aware that there's a problem and therefore can then measure it. And if you can measure it, you can regulate it. And then you can basically showcase that better solutions exist.
Yeah, and
so it's taken us that time. That took was critical. And of course, in the middle of it, you had COVID, you know, where suddenly air pollution, remember when the clouds were beautiful and there was no pollution in the sky, you know, that was also that nobody was driving anywhere.
Yeah. And in terms of that kind of messaging, I think, you know, as you said earlier, yeah, the Earthshot Prize is almost rocket fueled that and giving you that platform and the contacts to do that. But even the work you're doing before that with Royal Mail and with London Taxis, etc., did change the narrative. And I think, you know, I've had a conversation last year with a London taxi driver who was quite happy talking about these tires that he was using, etc. And that was quite a nice conversation to have, to say that, you know, we'd played some small part in your journey to get those on his vehicle. But, you know, that has changed the narrative and has brought tire pollution to the fore where, you know, before you were talking about it, nobody was. So I think, you know, you have been instrumental in that, which is phenomenal and you know, should be very proud of.
Thank you. But it's not just tire pollution. It's also we need to make electric cars more successful.
Absolutely.
I mean, ultimately, EVs are addressing climate change, which is a bigger problem than tire pollution. Mm-hmm. I mean, climate change is one of those things that if we don't get it right, this planet will be unbearable to live on.
Yep.
Tire pollution, in comparison, is not at the same scale. So our primary goal has always been make EVs successful because they combat climate change. But then at the same time, we can reduce tire pollution as well. We don't prioritize tire pollution onto climate change, for example. We say climate change is the most important. But But the way we express climate change also for making EVs more successful means that if they use less energy, that's one of the biggest sources of carbon emissions from an electric car. It's not making the battery. It's still the energy that goes into it. So if we reduce the energy consumption of an EV, that has a substantial climate effect. So we're all in the journey together on this planet where we're addressing some major problems. What's interesting with tires is this. There's very few products out there that have this much carbon benefit or impact, this much air pollution benefit or impact, this much toxicity impact, waste impact, microplastic impact, and other effects. Mm-hmm. And it's a product we all use. But if someone told you that a tire is a carbon story, an air pollution story, a microplastic story, a waste story, and a toxicity story, you'd be like, well, that's a lot to take in. But it's true. A tire is all of those and more. And it's about joined up thinking within something that we cannot live without on this planet. So we say, of course, you know, if people ask us, so what can I do? Well, buy Enzos, most important. But secondly, you know, if you're worried about this, then drive less or don't drive at all. Drive more carefully, drive less aggressively, drive lighter vehicles. But most importantly, buy Enzos.
I could definitely use a few tips on driving less aggressively. but no, that was so interesting. Thank you. I could honestly talk to you about that all day. It's fascinating. But we do have a final question, which is obviously the most important question of the podcast series, which I hope you've prepared for. If not, you're going to have to wing it, I'm afraid. If you could invite three guests to the Deepbridge dinner table, dead or alive, but no family and friends, please, because we don't want to get any nasty calls following this podcast. Who would they be and why?
What's the dinner for?
It is just a boozy, beautiful dinner.
Good conversation, interesting conversation. Yeah.
What is any dinner for? Eating.
It's a very good question. So the three people you could consider. One is a person that I don't think gets enough recognition for what he's done for the planet, and that's Elon Musk. I know he's a very controversial figure, but without him, we wouldn't have EVs roaming the streets and we wouldn't be on track, hopefully, to combat climate change. And I think that later on, when we're a bit older and he's maybe a little bit mellowed out, people will see that. Who else would I invite to the dinner table? It's a hard one to say, because
you wouldn't give Kate Blanchett a chance.
Well, Kate Blanchett is always welcome, that's for sure. She's very sweet. I would say for a chin wag, maybe put Kate aside. I think Prince William definitely deserves it as well for what he's done with Earthshot. I mean, it's a three and a half year startup that he's running. And he's also doing some things that are phenomenal for the impact we're going to have on this planet. So I think he would definitely do that. Who would I give the last speak to? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to have the honor? That's the question.
I think if I really will say this, I would invite my mother, and I know you said I can't invite family, but she passed away 25 years ago,
right.
And I miss her every day.
Yeah. Oh, gee, that's so lovely.
And I'm sure really she'd be so proud of what you've done and what you are doing. So, yeah, I'm sure that was I'm sure you particularly thought of her when you were in Singapore for the Earthshot Prize.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. If you want a roller coaster with every celebrity that is in sustainability, then going to Singapore last year was phenomenal. But we get to do this again.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to South Africa later in November for the next cohort.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Remember, it's a lot of the stuff, and I would also say that all my fellow Earthshots are also, and companies that should belong within that Earthshore cohort are all basically who should be at that table as well, because ultimately it's that network which has crystallized some of the best discussions we've had.
Yep.
It's not just the Rolodex of PW. It's also all those relationships we have built, because we're all going through the same journey. We're all trying to make a huge impact in the short time we have on this planet to drive change in a positive direction. And we are all faced with the same challenges. And it doesn't matter if you're doing a startup in Africa or an NGO in Asia, we're all having the same experiences, and we're all in, you know, tuning away to try to drive these impacts. And what's brilliant about the program and the Earthshore Prize in general is it brings together these groups of cohorts. And some of the other cohorts that were ahead of us are now giving us helpful tips and helpful introductions. And that's our journey as well. So once we become the oldies in the group, and there's going to be a range of other companies going through the process, it's all about us giving back. And ultimately, if we can all give as much back as possible, we're not focused upon what we're going to get out of it. At that stage, we're going to drive change. We're going to make sure that our planet is livable, beautiful, and wonderful. And in a nutshell, my dream for Enzo has simply been, we want to do this in one of the most underrated, impactful, and hidden industries in the world. And the fact that we're already doing it today, and we've shown it's possible, is a huge testament to not just Enzo, but the whole team behind it. And ultimately, that's really the message. And having you guys, of course, on board, I mean, we wouldn't be here without you guys, to be frank about it. So thank you for that as well.
Very kind. And I'm going to gloss over using the abbreviation of PW. That was that's very familiar. I like that. That's brilliant. Look, G, on that note, thank you very much for joining us. We'll do this again at some point, because I think there's so much more ground we need to cover and discuss with you. So we'll get you back on at some other point, if that's right with you. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. But thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you so good much. Luck for best of wishes with the world domination.
Yeah.
One tire at a time.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
There you go. There's your time. Thanks, G. Thank you.
Best to your team. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us.
If you have any topics you like covering in future Deep Ridge Discovery podcasts, please email us at discovery@deepridgecapital.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. This podcast was brought to you by Deep Ridge Capital LLP. Deep Ridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon.